So I came to tell somebody that you're marked by God. I came to tell you that no matter what the denial was, God still marks you. No matter what the trial is, God still marks you. No matter what you're facing now, you are marked. Somebody just say it with faith. Say, I'm marked. I need you to realize that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you. I had a plan and a purpose for you. I see stuff you ain't never seen for you before. Somebody just yell it. Say, I'm marked.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is, you notice, Reed, you get a better good morning. I better pause for that a little bit. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. There we go. See, I had to ask for it. I got to learn to do that better like Reed does. It is very good to be back with you this morning. My name is Joel. It is my pleasure to be here with you this morning. And as you can see, we are going to be starting a new series, and the new series is titled Marked. And we want you to know that you are a marked individual, hopefully not marked in a bad sense as we walk away from this, but marked in a good sense. Each one of us here, we are marked with a mission. All right, next week I want to encourage you. How many of you enjoyed our music this morning? They were tremendous, weren't they? The people behind the scenes, these guys, they do a great job every week, and so happy to hear that. Next week we are going to be doing You Are Marked for Forgiveness. The next week, Marked for Love. I want to encourage you. I'm not trying to encourage you to leave this morning. I want you to stay for the remainder of this morning. Come back next weekend. That's going to be a good one. There are any of you Eagles fans in here? That's nice. That's nice. Now, see, you guys all thought one thing, and I meant another thing, maybe. Anybody in here Eagles fan, as in Don Henley Eagles fan? Oh, now suddenly we have a little bit of people that are over 50 suddenly woke up. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Yeah, I'll insult you back. Anyway, I just want to encourage you. That's not nice. I just want to encourage you. No, Don Henley won't be here next week, but just a little tease for you. Come back next week for that type of the Eagles, not my beloved Philadelphia Eagles. We have a little bit of a surprise for you, hopefully, to hopefully encourage you there. But anyway, this week, we want to talk about this idea. As we come into this new series, we want to talk about this idea of being marked. And the reason that we want to talk about that is each one of us, all right, within our lives, you have a longing, you have a desire, I would imagine. All right, I think this is true of almost all of us, that we have a desire that if we are God followers, that we want to do what it is that He has called us to do. Now, if you are not a God follower and you're just kicking the tires, I think even in your life, it's that you have a longing, right? You have a longing in your life that you want to be, that you want your life to accomplish. You want your life to mean something. Right, as we look around our world today, we see a lot of people, right? We long for that in fame. We look for that in fame because we think in fame, all right, that brings us meaning in life. We look for it in other aspects, other ways of our lives, right? We can look for it in money, we can look for it in people, we can have this longing that takes place in our lives that we want more. But I want you to know that in your life, you are marked. I am marked, and hopefully this morning we realize that we are marked for a mission. As I use that term, if you're on the count meter already for marked, I think that's number 72 already. And I'm going to continue here. I'm marked this morning, right? I'm marked here. I'm marked down here, right? Those are all the markings. No, that's not my coffee or anything like that, all right? That's just the marking of the brand of the pants, right? Marked there. I have a mark on the shirt underneath. Mark on the back, right? We wear markings on our clothes to indicate certain things, and people know who it is. This morning, I have a little quiz for us that we're going to take, and it is not a tricky quiz. It is not a difficult quiz. As a matter of fact, if you don't get 100 on this quiz, you need to, well, you're in trouble, all right? And the reason that I say that is we're going to look at some marks, and I guarantee you that when you see these marks, you will know what they are. It's not rocket science here, okay? Mark number one is this one right here. right? We recognize that, right? That was pretty tricky, wasn't it? Some of you are scratching your head. No, I didn't know that one, right? There you go. Mark number two. All right, yeah, Mark number two. There we go. So we knew McDonald's without even having anything said. We know that this is Nike without anything being said. Are you ready for number three? It's really difficult. Number three. All right. Now, some of you use off-brand type of phones and other stuff like that, but you shouldn't. See, so you know what Apple is right away, right? Number four. This one was the one that I was a little nervous about, but do we know what that is? M&M's, there we go, that's correct, all right? I got a little bit nervous. See, this is how nervous I was that I put a second one in there just to make sure that I'm like, well, if they miss that one there, all right? But not too difficult, and then our last one, Bridgewater, there you go. Did you get them all right? I hope you got them all right, right? Can I tell you, with the exception of this last one, if you were to travel all around the world, do you think people would have difficulty naming those previous ones? They're recognized globally, right? Those are brands, those are markings that are recognized. I don't need to say what it is. I don't need to put a name underneath them. But when we show a McDonald's emblem, it's right away. People know what it is. When you see a Nike swoosh, right? I used to spend my days counting how many swooshes they got on my sneakers, right? They put them every place on there, right? When you see the little Apple symbol, you know what it is. When you see M&M's, they're like, I like, by the way, I brought myself M&M's in case I get hungry midway through. So there you go. But anyway, we have this marking in our lives. Well, I want us to realize that you in here today, all right, whether you were a follower of Christ or not, you are marked. And as we take a look through this message today, I hope you realize that you are marked. If you are a follower of Christ, you are marked for a mission as well. And I want to encourage you in that aspect, in your walk of your life. Before we dig in, I'm just going to ask that you know what? I just want you to bow your heads. We're just going to have a word of prayer here as we get started with this series, Marked. Lord, as we come to you now, as we bow in prayer, God, I ask that the power of your word, the word that you have preserved for us down through history, the words of the Apostle Paul this morning, the words of Mark, the follower of Christ, Lord, that they would work into our hearts, into our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in here. Lord, I ask that those that may walk in this morning discouraged, difficulties from a difficult week, from difficult relationships, from difficult circumstances in life, that they would be encouraged, Lord. And I ask that each one of us would realize that in our lives, we are marked by you. And may those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, may we realize that we are marked for a mission by you. And Lord, we say thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, that bumper that we kicked off with, that wanted us to realize, right, that we are marked, right? He wanted us, that speaker had a little bit of passion and a little bit of fire, that we are marked individuals. I want to kick this off with this passage of scripture right here from Ephesians chapter 4. It is the Apostle Paul that is telling us, that is giving us some insight. And as he is talking here, he is saying, as a prisoner, right, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you. Paul is speaking to a group of people, and as he is speaking to that group of people, he wants them to know that he is declaring himself as a prisoner of the Lord. He wants them to know that he is urging them to live a life worthy of the calling that they have received. And this week, as we kick off this Marked for Mission, I want you to realize that we can live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. You can live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. God is at work in your lives. He is ready to work in your life, no matter where it is that you are. Here at Bridgewater, we believe that each person has a next step, right? And we believe that for you this morning, that there is a next step. And for some of us, we don't know where that beginning step may be, but hopefully we can be encouraged this morning as to where that step may be. So Paul tells us, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. That is the life of Paul. I want to remind you of this. As we look at the Apostle Paul was an individual who had persecuted the early church. Following the resurrection of Christ and then the ascension of Christ back to heaven, Paul was one of the individuals that went around persecuting early Christians that were proclaiming that there was this resurrected Christ, that Christ had risen from the dead. That is the foundation of our Christianity. That is what we are believe. That is what we hold to, that there is a resurrected Jesus Christ. Paul did not accept that in his early life. As a matter of fact, he persecuted those that tried to proclaim that. And as a result of that, Paul's life was miraculously changed, and now he declares himself a prisoner, something that we don't say about ourselves, right? We are free. I'm not a prisoner. And yet Paul is there like, no, I am a prisoner of the Lord. And he urges with passion. He wants us in our lives to follow Christ, to live the life worthy of the calling you have received. So this morning, what we are going to do is we are going to follow this up so that we can hopefully get a look at that mark in your life. Let's get that opening rendition, that opening start of being marked as followers of Jesus Christ. And where we are going to look is we are going to look in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to pick up a few words there. We're going to start with Mark chapter 11. We're going to look at a passage there. This is just for a little bit of background information. And then we're going to jump ahead to Mark chapter 12. And the reason that I want you to look at this passage right here in Mark chapter 11 is because this sets the background. It allows us to know a little bit of what is going to take place when I jump ahead to Mark chapter 12 here. And what it's helping us understand is it's helping us understand this first word right here, they, and then these people down here. So the they right here that we are referring to, the they that is being opened up to us here, is this is Jesus and his disciples. They are coming into Jerusalem. And as they arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, there's another group of people here, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. And they come to him, all right? And when they came to him, they asked this question, by what authority are you doing these things? These things here is Christ has been going to the temple and he is teaching, he is healing, he is saying things that they would prefer not to be said, that they don't like hearing. And they ask him this question, by what authority are you doing these things? And now they're going to try to catch him, they're going to try to trip him up. And as we go down through this passage, we're going to see what takes place. So we're going to jump ahead to Mark chapter 12, because Mark chapter 12 is what I want to look at this morning, because you are marked. And in Mark chapter 12, later, this they here is those chief priests and the elders, the teachers of the law. All right, it's that group of people. So that's why we looked at that previous one. I wanted you to know who it was. They, so those chief priests, the leaders, the teachers of the law, the elders, sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. All right. So as we see this passage, as we come to Mark chapter 12, and we're looking at this, all right, this they is the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law. It is the religious leaders of the day. If you read your Gospels, and if you start with the reading plan tomorrow of John for 21 days, you will go through. You will see that the religious leaders are not always kind to Christ. As a matter of fact, regularly they're trying to trip him up and catch him. It never works for them, and yet they continue to try and continue to try. All right, so here, all right, the religious leaders are going to send two different groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, I want you to get a picture, because the Pharisees and the Herodians are not two groups that work together a lot. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees are ones that like to hold very strictly to the law. They're the ones that were on Christ when he heals on the Sabbath. Why are you doing that, right? They didn't think that it was right to tell a guy that was healed to pick up his mat and walk on the Sabbath, because that was too much work. All right, that's the Pharisees. You hold tightly to the law and you follow it stringently. All right, right here, and the Herodians. The Herodians were the opposite. The Herodians were the people who were faithful to Rome. All right, they were faithful to Herod. If I can get a group of people working together to go against Jesus, this is like getting Republicans and Democrats to work together, right? It doesn't happen very often, correct? So get the picture. That's the idea, all right? 2,000 years later, we work in that manner there. But the Pharisees and Herodians, they're going to come together at this point. Even though they don't like each other, they don't agree with one another, they're going to come together here, and they come to Jesus, and what is their desire? Their desire is to catch him in his words. So they came to him, and they said, and as they said, they go, "Teacher, we know." All right, teacher, we know you are a man of integrity, all right? You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, All right, now I want to stop right there, because I want you to know, as they say this, there's truth sprinkled in and maybe a little fabrication sprinkled in with them as they are saying this. But they're coming to him and they want to say, Jesus, you're a man of integrity. All right, so they want to butter him up a little bit here, even though they really don't mean it. Their next words are, you aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. That's not that Jesus doesn't pay attention to people. What we want to understand is he did not pay attention to their position. All right, if you were high and mighty, if you were the religious leader, he wasn't bowing to them, oh, how wonderful you are. And if you were lowly, he wasn't stepping on you saying, oh, I've got to get ahead to where I am. He didn't pay attention to the position of the people. All right, that is what they're talking about with him there. He doesn't pay attention to what their position in life is. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Understand, Jesus is going to call them out on this because he knows that they don't mean this. They're just trying to catch him. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So the question here isn't so much that they care about whether they should pay their taxes or not. The question is here that they are throwing something at Christ because what they are trying to do is they are trying to catch him in his response. Why? Because there are some, even some of his disciples, like Matthew, all right, one of his disciples, who collect taxes for the Roman Empire. There is another one of his disciples, Simon the Zealot, who was, no, we want independence. We want Israel to be its own nation. We want to go back to the way we were. So no, we shouldn't pay taxes to these people. We don't want to pay taxes to Rome. So there are individuals right within his own group that probably had questions about this or would fight about this. And these groups are coming together. Why? Because they want to catch him. They want to see, how is it that you're going to respond in this? And they go on and they say, should we pay or shouldn't we? All right? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But look, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. See, those previous statements, they were all put together there, and they are just being hypocrites in the way that they present this. Jesus knew their hypocrisy, and he says, why are you trying to trap me? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. So what's he ask him? Bring me some money and let me have a look at the money. Let me have a look at the coin. So what are they going to do? They brought the coin to him. So in bringing the coin, he asked them, whose portrait is this and whose inscription? So I just want you to think about that in our own lives. Silly me, I don't have any coins in my pocket. How do I do that? But as we take a coin, they take a look at it, and they say, whose inscription is this? Whose image is this? That's what Christ is asking. And they look at it, and when they see the inscription, when they see the portrait, they answer, it's Caesar's. Caesar's, they replied. And then Jesus is going to go forward and instruct them in how he answers their question is going to instruct them in how to live. Then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In that statement, in the moment that he makes that statement, it's not a moment where he is telling them, pay your taxes to Caesar and make sure that you give money to the temple. That's the way that we do it here, all right? You pay taxes and you give a tenth to the temple tax. He is letting them know right there, look, this inscription, that emblem, that image is Caesar's. So on that coin, there's an image of Caesar. So guess what? In your life, give that image. Give that back to whoever it is. If it's Caesar's, give to him. But I also want you to know, give to God what is God's. And I believe in making that statement that each of those religious leaders, right, that were there, remember, it was the teachers of the law, it was the elders, it is the Pharisees, it is the Herodians that are around listening for the response, waiting to catch him. Those that knew their Old Testaments well, and those teachers of the law certainly should have known their Old Testaments well, they knew that when he says to God, what is God's, there is something else that is being said there. Or at least they should have. Because if they knew their Old Testament law, the thing that this would bring back to them is Genesis chapter 1, because they know this about creation. They know that in the creation account, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created, right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You see, right here in Jesus, in the answer that Jesus gives to these individuals as they ask this question, he is letting them know, listen, you render to Caesar, you give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give to God what is God's. And let me tell you what is God's. The image of God is stamped, is marked on you. So you give to God what is God's. See, it took it right past the whole financial. How much am I supposed to give? What am I supposed to do with my finances, with my money? And it took it right to the point where, you know what? You are to give yourself this image that is given to you by God. You see, being marked by God is about who you are. All right, when we are marked by God, it is about who we are in our lives, right? Being marked by God is always about the who before the what we do. You are made in his image. As individuals that are made in his image, again, I go back to that idea. If you are somebody that you're not certain about this whole Christianity thing and you're just here because a friend's invited you, or you're here because you come to church and you're just not certain about that, that's okay. You are still made in the image of God. God has made you in his image. You bear his likeness, all right? He created us in his image. He didn't create us as gods. He created us in the image of God. So we bear his likeness. So Jesus would say, render to Caesar, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that image which is God's. Being marked by God is about who you are before what you do. You see, we can get that backwards in our lives sometimes. We sometimes think that it's about what I do. You see, what I do, that determines how good I am in God's eyes, right? Think about Paul. In his early life, he had it backwards. As I talked about Paul earlier, right? In his early life, he thought being a Pharisee, being a good religious individual meant that persecute the church. Why? Because they're proclaiming this thing about Christ, and we can't have that done. And he thought it was about what he did. He held on to the law tightly and said, Christ is not the Messiah. And miraculously, God came along and changed his life. And in changing his life, Paul's life was changed. It was transformed, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he was able to say that as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you, right? Going back to that verse that we had talked about before, that as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. That's the life of Paul looking at us and saying, go ahead. You have been marked, and your mark is about who you are more so than what you do. See, in my life, I grew up going to church. I was brought up by parents who were godly parents. We went to church from, I'm certain, the first day that I was born, the first Sunday, second Sunday, whatever it was, and grew up going to church. And as a young man, I go to church, and I realize that, you know, if you're spiritual and if you're walking with God, there are certain things, that steps that you take in life, right? And maybe you become somebody that serves in church. That's kind of nice, right? You become somebody that serves. And for me back then, if you become a little more spiritual, right, you'd probably be a Sunday school teacher back in those days, right? And then if you become a Sunday school teacher, maybe if you're really spiritual, right, you become a deacon in the church. That might make you cough sometimes. No, I'm joking. If any of you are deacon. But you become a deacon, or you become an overseer in a church, right? And if I become a little more spiritual, right? If I become a little more spiritual, maybe I become a pastor. Woo, that's the big time there. And then from there, if I become a pastor, if I want to become the really, really big time, then I become a missionary and go overseas, right? And I remember in my life sitting there thinking, boy, I don't ever want to do any of that. I don't want to be a pastor. I remember thinking as a young person, I don't want to be that. Certainly don't want to be a missionary. I might end up in Africa or something, you know, and I don't know, or someplace cold, colder than Binghamton. I'm certain they're colder than Binghamton, but, you know, you might end up something like that. And we get it backwards in our lives. Why do we get it backwards in our lives? Because sometimes we elevate positions. And by when I say that, I am not saying that to insult or pick on any of those positions. All of those are important. But in each one of our lives, we are marked with the image of God. And that marking of the image of God is is that you have a mark on you, and your service to God is just as important wherever it is in your life. Anybody here have a mom that they're thankful for? Yeah, if you have a mom that you're thankful for, she probably didn't get a whole lot of praise all the time for that job, did she? By the way, if you're sitting next to your mom right now, it's really a good idea to say, yes, I had a great mom. I just a little insight to those of you here, okay? Right now is a good time, instead of leaning away from her, to slide close to her, okay? There we go. All right, slide close and say thank you. Right? Think about that. It wasn't a job where they received a ton of praise. Right? Does mom get up every morning saying, boy, you know, this sunshiny child of mine just says how wonderful I am every day. At night, she goes to bed, lays her head on the pillow, and her son or daughter comes in, fluffs that pillow up for her. Mom, you're just the most wonderful person, right? Any moms in here live like that? Yeah, all right. Don't worry, Mother's Day's coming up in a few, what do we have here? In a couple of months, right? There, you get your one day. And even then, it's a card. How good's that? Maybe flowers, right? All right, dads, how about us? Any of us have dads that we love, dads that were great dads, right? Any of you out here, dads that are great dads? Same thing for you, right? When your son or daughter borrow the car, they always bring it back full, right? Oh, not everybody's like my kids, apparently. I don't get that. What? Right? They're always telling you what a wonderful dad you are, right? You see, sometimes we think the position is what's important. And we mess things up. We get it all messed up. Position's what is important. No, it's about who we are that is what is important. And it's about where you are, realizing that where you are in your life, whatever your task, whatever your role, whatever your job may be, you are marked by God. You bear his image. And as someone who bears his image, Paul goes on to tell one of the young believers that followed him, Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he tells him these words: he, that is God, has saved you and has called us to a holy life. Not because of anything, not because of the stuff that you've done, all right? Not because of anything you've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. If you were here previously for the Peter series, right? Similar words. Peter said, you are called to have a hope. You are called to live a holy life. Right here, being marked by God. You are called to be used by him where you are. And it doesn't always look pretty and popular and doesn't look as good as the next person on their social media page. Why? Because sometimes you get up tired. Sometimes you go to bed a little angry. Sometimes you get a little annoyed in the middle of the day because life isn't always going exactly the way you may want it to go. But we have a God who has marked us, and don't get caught down in those valleys. Why? Because as we sang, the God of the valleys is the God of the mountaintops, right? The God who is able to take the grave and turn it into the garden is the God who is able to take you and to take your situation. And guess what? Take the life that you are living and make it flow and make it shine and let others around you see that. I spoke to an individual this past week. I bumped into him. He used to, he led music for a number of years at a church, and I saw him. And I just said, hey, you know, one of the things I would love to, that I just love about you is the ministry that you had and just singing Amazing Grace with you, right? Having you lead a group and singing that. Do you think that meant a little something to him? It did. Was I thinking about that earlier? I didn't know I was going to bump into him. No, it's just something that came across. And I'm like, you know what? I was thinking about this last Saturday night. No joking. Saw him this week. And I'm like, you know what? I would absolutely love to have that with you. Why? Because he was just somebody that was doing ministry in a place and at a time that he was called to do that. And what did it do? It had an effect on people. The same thing happens here Sunday, right? This week, you guys, hopefully there are a handful of you, you're going to walk out, you're going to sing a few of the songs that were just led this week. You're going to hear it on the radio. There's going to be something that triggers it in your mind, and you're going to be reminded, and you're saying, oh, yes, and what is that? It's the ministry of these individuals right here that lead us in that singing, so that what, later in the week, all of a sudden that comes to my mind, and I'm reminded, you know what, God? I want to praise your name. That's part of people. That is part of you and me doing what it is that God has done in your life. He has stamped his image up on you. Why? So that we can be marked by God. All right? Because it is not only do we have this marking that is about who we are before what we do, but the size of our assignment never determines the significance of your impact. We can get caught up in that sometimes, right? We get caught up in looking at people that do so much more than us. How in the world do they do all that? How in the world do they get it all done? I can never measure up. In my life, if I could encourage you, I tried to encourage teens with this for a number of years, but I try to encourage us to have authentic faith in our own lives. And I try to encourage you, if you can get a few things right, if you can love God, and that's a process in our lives, right? We need to love God. If we look for ways that we can love God in our daily lives, whether that's through prayer, whether it's reading our Bibles, if we can look around and if we can love our family, if you can love your family, love those right around you, and if you can love your church, if we can get those three things in line, I've thought that. If you can get those three things in line, guess what? There's going to be a peace within you. Even in the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulties in life, if you can love God, if you can love your family, if you can love church, what does that mean? That's a group of people around you that support you, right? Whether that's a group of Sunday morning believers here, or whether it's a small group that you meet with sometime during the week that encourage one another, right? If you can love God, love your family, love the church, the other things will fall into place. Jesus, in chapter 11 of Mark, he gave some individuals there what they may have thought was an insignificant task. His disciples, they were headed towards Jerusalem, and as they were going to Jerusalem, he said, "Hey, I have a task that I need two of you to go and do." And who knows what the disciples may have been thinking as they're looking at that task that's coming up. They might be saying, pick me if it's important, especially I really want to go. If it's bad, send somebody else, but if it's a good one, I want to take that, right? If it's prominent, I want that one, right? And he sends them ahead. And as he sent him ahead, he was sending him ahead to get the colt that was tied up. The colt that Jesus would use to ride in on what we call Palm Sunday. And he sent the two ahead. And maybe as they got there, they looked, this was the important job. This, it's a colt. That's not, right? It's a donkey. How important is that for me? I'm a big, important disciple. I'm one of the top 12 for crying out loud, right? How come I have to do this? Was it an insignificant task that he had asked him to do? Not by any stretch. It was an important task. It was going and getting the animal that would bring Jesus in. You see, the size of our assignment does not determine the significance of your assignment. That's true in your life. It's true in my life. Wherever it is that you are, you can do a good job of loving God. You can do a good job of loving your family. You can do a good job of loving those around you. And by that, you show the marking, the image that God has stamped upon you. Why? Because you are made in the image of God. I want to close, hopefully, with a little bit of a fun illustration here. I pointed out that I brought myself a little snack. And I bring myself a snack because I know I tend to go long. And I might want something to eat. And the rest of you just have to watch me eat it. And I really don't mind. You know, I like being rude. So I bring a little snack, right? We had this, I mentioned M&M's earlier, right? And as we look at M&M's, there's something about M&M's, right? As I pop this open here and I look at it, how about that? Four straight orange M&M's. Anybody like orange? Here you go. You want them especially out of my hand, don't you? Everybody wants that. Open up wide, I'll toss it in. Anybody ready for the? Here we go. One thing about M&M's. I don't know how many are in that bag, but I dumped four of them out here. And if my eyes could see on each one of these M&Ms, I would see a little M. They're marked. I know this isn't a knockoff M&M. This is a real M&M, right? Not the knocked off ones are bad. But they are marked. You see, each one of those M&Ms individually marked. You and I, we are made in an image. We are marked by that image. And you know what? if we are ready and ready to go forward as marked individuals and do the mission that God has called us to do, we have his marking on us. All right? I would encourage you, be a part of the mission that God has established for you. This morning, on your way out, I just want to remind you guys of this a little bit. I want to remind you of M&Ms. So on this morning on your way out, there's going to be some people holding some M&Ms at the door for you. I want you to grab those, and I want you to use that. I know some of you, you'll open that up and eat it right away, and that's perfectly fine. That's what they're there for. You're like, we've been listening to this guy for an hour, for crying out loud. Maybe 2 hours. I can't even keep track now. All right, I need a little snack. But I want you to think. I want you to think sometime this week. All right, M&Ms. Each individual M&M mark. You are marked. You have the image of God marked upon you for creation, for a mission. Pray with me if you would, please. God, we say thank you as we close our time this morning. We say thank you that you are a good and you are a gracious God. And Lord, I say thank you for these individuals that are here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our lives to be reminded that you have marked us for your honor and for your glory. And God, for some of us, for so many in this room, Lord, they are following you with their heart and their life. And Lord, I just ask that you would continue to encourage them, build them up. For others of us, Lord, we struggle. And God, may this message series about being marked be something that can encourage us, spur us along in our walk with you. Lord, if there are those here this morning that are still wondering about this whole God thing, Lord, you have stamped your image upon them. And God, I just pray that through the work of your Spirit, through the work of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would draw them to yourself. God, I say thank you for each one here. I pray that you might bless them as they go about their daily lives this week. Help each one of us to love you. Help each one of us to love our families. Help each one of us to love the church that is around us, the people that you have given to encourage us. And I say this and I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Have a great week.
Would you stand and sing with us?